Blog Talk Radio.
The Boxing Fix.
The
Boxing
Fix.
For the boxing addicts who are itching for their fix, we welcome The Boxing Fix. Every Sunday night at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. Join us here at The Boxing Fix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Boxing Fix. I'm fellow boxing addict Josh McDaniel, and I am joined by my co-host, the PR superstar, Emily Pandalakis. Emily, what's going on? Welcome back. We missed a week, but we're back on it again. What's going on?
Nothing. Glad to be back.
It does feel good to be back, and, you know, it was sort of a slow week as far as maybe major events or major fights go, even though we got a bunch coming up in the next few weeks. But we had a lot of prospect-type fights, you know, real talented fighters from Jay Leon Love to Oscar Valdez making his pro debut, an Olympian, you know. So first and foremost, what do you feel about all these prospects starting to get their fights on, man? You know, they're staying active.
It was good. You know, it was nice this weekend. There was a lot of boxing on for boxing fans. This wasn't a weekend where, you know, your casual fan's going to tune in to Telefutura and Sky and all those different channels to watch these fights. But for the boxing fans, it was a good, just a very solid weekend of boxing, frankly. And it was some matchups that people expected to be a little more cut and dry, ended up being a little rougher. And I think that's good. It was good for boxing fans. It was a good weekend.
Definitely. I mean, and I know even on, what was it, Thursday, one of your fighters got in the ring and fought in a real entertaining fight, Jamie Kavanaugh. Congratulations to him. That was a hell of a fight. You know, I know you watched the fight, obviously. That's your fighter. How do you feel he looked now? You know, he's trying to make a name for himself.
You know, he gets some beef because of the level of competition, and this was supposed to be like a big test for him, and it was. Frankly, he got rocked a few times in the fight. The other fighter got rocked. That was a very good, fun fight to watch for fans. You know, he ended up winning. I think the scorecards were, there was one that was very disparate, and then there were a couple that were closer. I think it was closer. I think the other fighter came to fight Leyva. I mean, he's fought some, like, pretty decent names, Cliff Casamayor, some other fighters, but He came to win. I'm thinking of Leyva. He's the one who fought Gomez. I'm sorry. But Valadez, I apologize. He came to win. He put on a good fight. And, you know, Jamie eventually pulled it out. I mean, he withstood some, you know, some hard punches and some adversity. And I want to give just a little plug online since you're on the phone now. This week, Jamie had a fan from Ireland contact me and say, you know, I really want to meet him. I can't make it to the fight. Is there any way I can meet him at the wild card? Well, the wild card right now is very crazy because Manny's there, and Jamie wasn't going to be there on Thursday because he's, you know, getting ready to make weight and everything else. And Jamie actually, like, went out of his way to meet the fan. Then he invited the fan. He had an extra seat in his car, invited the fan to the Golden Boy offices for the weigh-in and everything else. So I just want to give a little shout out to Jamie for being fan friendly, because not every fighter will do those things.
Nice,
and then
thanks.
Of course he went on to fight.
No, that's awesome. That's always good to hear fighters, you know, giving some time to the fans and everything, because, you know, just like they say in all sports, you know, the fan, or even, you know, whatever, the fans make things happen. You know, they make their money worth. So it's good to hear that. Before we get into everything else and recap this past weekend's fights, let's get into the boxing list. But actually, first, I want to just make sure everyone listening, you want to call and talk boxing, all you boxing addicts, we've got a number for you to call, 347-215-7598. Make sure you give us a call, talk boxing. I know you guys are fiending to talk, you know, get some stuff off your chest, so feel free to give us a call. Let's get into this boxing list real quick. We're going to start off on Thursday, And I just had to mention this one fight because of the guy's record, and I think, you know, a lot of people know him, and everyone loves to hear me butcher Thai fighters' names, go over in Thailand at the Central Pavilion. Pong Sokhalek welcomed Jung Kim, lost by TKO in the third round. He has a record of 87 and now 5 losses, 87 wins, 5 losses, 2 draws. Suffered a TKO loss, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he also announced that he will be retiring. So a pretty crazy career, a record that you seldomly see now in boxing, of that many fights, 87 wins, you know. So congratulations to him, even though he lost on a pretty good career. Also on Thursday, you had Junior Witter over in London. He lost to Frankie Gavin by unanimous decision, and that was for the British welterweight title. On the undercard, Ronnie Heffron defeated Peter McDonald by decision, an 8-rounder. Craig Evans defeated Idy Ochukwu by decision, 6 rounds. Gary Cocarone defeated Ross Payne by the first round TKO. And Charlie Hoy defeated Francis Crosis by decision in the 6 rounder as well. Moving on over in Canada, Lucien Boutte got back in the ring, his first fight since his devastating knockout loss, defeated Denis Grashev in a fight decision, which all kind of looks like a tough fight for someone that might have not been expected to be that tough of a fight. Also, Alan Green, yes, the man that's been getting knocked out by everyone, Alan Green, got off the canvas and defeated Renan St. Juste and retired him in the 7th round. Alan Green got hurt. Got up, and he continued to fight. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Rodrigo Guerrero defeated Sebastian Gauthier by an 8th round TKO. Mikhail Zuski, who's a top prospect coming up right now, moves his record to 17-0. He knocked out in the first round Cesar Chavez. And no, not Julio Cesar Chavez. So just don't get that mistaken. This is another Cesar Chavez. Budan Danu defeated Eric Martel Baholi by fourth round TKO. And Francine Nitu defeated Schiller Hippolyte. I'm butchering the names again, so, you know, nothing's new. Over in Deutschland, in Gary Weber Stadium, Marco Huck defeated Farah Arslan in a very entertaining 12-round fight. It was a decision that was for the WBO Cruiserweight title. That was Marco Huck, and it was a close fight. And we'll probably get to that a little bit later as well. Also on the undercard, Dustin Dirks defeated Clinton Consucio by decision. Over in Anaheim at the Phoenix Club, Frankie Gomez, after more than a year away from fighting, went on and defeated Manuel Leyva. That was a third round knockout. And your fighter, like we mentioned earlier, Jamie Kavanaugh defeated Ramon Valadez by decision, an 8-rounder. Joette Gonzalez on the undercard defeated Victor Serrano by first round KO. And Ulysses Sierra defeated Ricardo Pinal in his debut. It was Ulysses' second fight, and he won by a fourth round in the four-round fight. And the reason why I'm having trouble here is I messed up my computer. I'm reading these things in another language, so excuse me if I mess up stuff. I really did. I'm reading, like, in German or something. That I just totally hit the wrong button. let's see. Over in Humble, Texas, Fernando Guerrero, he showcased the fight. He defeated Juan Carlos Candelo and defeated him and made him basically quit in the sixth round by TKO. Candelo he was just outclassed by Fernando. You can see that coming. Fernando's trying to get back in the mix. I like Fernando. We'll get to that later. And also on the undercard, we had him on the show before. One of my favorite prospects, a prospect to watch, Jay Leon Love, defeated Tyrone Seldes. Jay Leon just looked incredible again, I think. He won by a 6-round TKO. And Antonio Capulin, who's another people have been talking about a little bit, defeated Guadalupe Perez by a decision in the 4-rounder. Don't know what much that can tell us about Antonio, but we'll see what he goes on from there. We'll get to that a little bit later. Over in Argentina, Roberto Velasquez defeated, or fought to a draw, I'm sorry, against John Mark man, Jean-Marc Apollinario for the interim world bantamweight title. Cecilia Comunella defeated Simone Duarte for the WBA female lightweight title. And that was over there in Club La Union in Argentina. In Mexico, Oscar Valdez, who made his pro debut, he's a Mexican Olympian, defeated in by one of his first fight by TKO in the second round versus Angel Prado. Valdez just looked great to me. He's a fun guy to watch already. We'll talk more about that later. Ulysses Solis picked up a seventh round knockout over Jesus Uribe. Over at the Phoenix Club in Anaheim, Frankie Gomez defeated Manuel. Oh, we already got to that. I'm messing up stuff. See, Germans all messing up. And that's pretty much it, anyways, for the boxing list. That was rough. I'm never going to touch my computer again. Emily, I don't know if you can read German, but next time you're going to read German when you, you know, we'll make you do this.
I can't read German, but I can maybe fix your computer. So maybe I can remote in or something.
I have no idea how that happened. I really don't know. It was funny because I'm looking at this stuff, and next thing you know, I see like weird letters, and you know, the W is like a G. I'm like, what the hell is going on? But that's all right now. Though I want to get you first off the guy I'm really high on as a prospect, Jay Leon Love. He defeated Tyrone Salders. It was a TKO in the sixth round. Jay Leon just looked incredible to me. He looks sharp, fast. He looked like he had the total package. He looked ready to move his career to bigger and better places, to fight better competition now. And I know your feelings on his opponent. You thought he had a lot of heart, and he did. But he had no chance with Jay Leon. Jay Leon was picking him apart. He was countering. He was spinning him. His feet work was amazing. I'm saying it right now, Jay Leon is the real deal. The guy is the real deal as far as prospects are concerned. I think he's one of my favorite prospects to keep an eye out for. What's your thoughts on Jay Leon and his fight last night?
Definitely. You know, he looked solid. He was accurate. He was patient. You know, he waited for the right shots. And, you know, Salders, he came forward the whole fight. Like, he reminded me of Latif Coyote, who I work with. And Latif will just come straight, and just keep coming forward. And that's how Zelders was. He wasn't coming in with the mentality of an opponent. He came in, you know, really just, he came in to win that fight. He had a good chin. You know, he tried really hard. But Jay Leon just kept finding every spot, you know, every opening. Zelders had good head movement going back and forth. But Jay Leon, you know, somehow was able to find him. I like the stoppage. I thought it was a good time to stop the fight. I like Jay Leon's jab. I'm, you know, reading from my notes.
Yeah.
He has a great jab, and it's a damaging jab. It's, you know, there's a lot of fighters that don't work on the jab, and he's obviously somebody that does. And it's not just, you know, a jab to get space, to get distance, to get time. It's a jab. It damages the opponent.
Yeah, you know what? That's a perfect observation. I noticed that, too. His jab is not just a measure. It's not to keep a distance. He throws that jab to damage your face. And that's what he did. One thing I liked was his defense, too. I thought he looked great. And another thing, man, his style of fighting, you don't see many of these guys that I would say is his style do this, but he sure does, is body punch. And this guy was complaining about getting hit in the no-fly zone when it comes to getting punched. I don't think he got hit there maybe just once, if anything. But Jay Leon was landing some vicious and malicious body shots. And that was awesome. I like Jay Leon because of that, too. Just everything about him. For a kid that's only, 25 years old, and he's only fought, and this is only his 14th fight, if I'm not mistaken, to me, he looks almost like he's a veteran now. Like, he knows the little tricks of the trade.
I agree with that. You know, he was able to really find the openings. I was actually very impressed. Like, I've seen him fight before. I feel like he's getting better every fight, and he was able to find the openings. Because Zelders' defense is not very good. His head movement was good, but his hands were apart most of the time. He left a lot of room open, you know, and And I feel like Jay Leon was able to capitalize on that and then get out. Like, he didn't stay in. There were a few inside exchanges, but in general, you know, he'd do his business, get out, and then go back in when he needed to. And I like that fight. I like Jay Leon, you know, and, you know, like I said, I like Felders too. I liked his heart. You know, he stayed in. The guy was not going to stop it himself. Somebody had to stop it, and he was pissed. I did feel like it was the right thing for him. I'm going to go back and watch his fight against Omar Henry because I want to see, you know, what happened in that fight. But, yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe we even talked about Omar Henry on the show already. This is weird. yeah, it was a great fight for Jay Leon because this kid, Salas is he's a tough guy. I mean, despite his record, he's not a world beater, but obviously he can take a punch. You know, I don't know how hard he hits. Obviously, I wasn't in the ring with Felders, but it didn't look like anything was hurting Jay Leon. He was starting to get tagged a lot towards the end of the fight where, like you said, he wasn't going to quit, and someone had to step in, and it was a great stoppage. He was getting, I think at one point he got hit with 7 to 8 consecutive shots in the dome. Like, his head was just stepping back.
And, like, 4 uppercuts, I think, in that same round. So.
Oh, yeah.
And those are just, you know, it's not worth it. You know, I did some research on him. He's got a family. You know, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not worth for any of these fighters to take all that punishment anyways, but especially in this, he had no chance of winning. You know, everyone says there's always a puncher's chance, but I'm going to go out on the limb and say he wasn't going to land a significant punch that was going to knock out Jay Leon. You know,
Had a lot better movement. I'm interested to see Jay Leon in a longer fight to see how his conditioning does and that kind of thing. You know, I felt like towards the end there, he wasn't looking, you know, rough at all, but, you know, you just want to watch in terms of, you know, his conditioning. But, yeah, he did great. I mean, I'm a fan, you know, like we had him on the show, I think, before, and nice kid, very respectful, and, you know, I'm looking forward to watching him move forward.
And two things real quick. One of them is one thing is actually more of a question I want to ask your opinion on. But first and foremost, I lost track of what I was going to say. Jay Leon Love, he's talented. He's very respectful. And he's just a smart fighter inside the ring. And one thing that I've noticed about him, he likes to stay active. And that is probably one of the most important things for these young fighters, these prospects, is to stay active. No matter what, I mean, less than a month ago, and now he's on this fight. You know, he's probably going to get another fight before the end of the year, hopefully. You know, I like that. That's good. That's what they need. But my question to you is this. We say how respectful he is, and it's kind of a shame because in these days of boxing, if you're not talking trash or if you're not somewhat of a standout in any other way, you're not going to get seen or get that big, you know, you're not going to be that big-time show guy, you know. Do you think Jay Leon has the charisma do you think he has that it factor to make him a top star in boxing one day?
Well, when we talk to him, you know, he's well-spoken, he's humble and all those things, and those are the things that the fans like. Is he going to be, you know, out there talking trash? Who knows? He does identify with part of the money team. So there are lots of people, as we've seen, that will talk trash on his behalf. So I don't think he'll need to, if he stays with that team and he stays in that environment for a little, even if it's a short period of time, let's say it's a year, 2 years, he'll get the benefit of that trash talk by proxy, I think, just from being a part of that team and a part of that group. I don't think we have to worry about that. But, you know, is he, I believe the boxing fans are watching him. I believe that as of his last fight, you know, they're keeping an eye on what he's doing. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
All right. I just want to make this clear because I remember you told me this the other day. Because you mentioned the team, I'm not going to say it. Because you mentioned, aren't you donating money?
To the
Hurricane Sandy. Didn't you say every time the TMT is brought up that someone needs to donate money?
I meant rich people. They need to donate money. I don't have money to donate. But if I could, I would. But
yeah,
I would.
You did bring it up, though.
Somebody who has money needs to say every time, because what I felt like, and this, we can stick this in the rave section later, is that people are talking so much about this beef, and there are so many more important things going on that 50 and Floyd should actually be drawing attention to. That, you know, it's really kind of irresponsible of them to be doing what they're doing when there's people that could use their benefit and voice. That's my opinion. That's a rave early.
Yeah.
Or a rant.
That's a rant.
Rant.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little, we'll do our rants and raves again later. But real quick, back on Jay Leon. Now, what I was going to ask you is, you know, you think that by proxy, you know, because he's with, who he's with and stuff, you know, he'll get that acknowledgement, get that attention that he deserves, that he's earning. Do you think, though, that the people that he's with and him being kind of different than the people that he's surrounded by, I guess you could say, is a bad thing for him?
You know,
like, in the long run, that could be a bad thing?
I mean, so far, as long as he doesn't let it go to his head, I don't think it'll be a bad thing. I think he'll come off as a contrast, but still get some of the publicity that they get. You know, he needs to keep getting televised fights and keep performing. And I think, you know, it'll speak for itself, frankly. I don't think he needs – you have the fighters that benefit from the trash talk. I don't think it has anything to do with who he's with. I think it's going to depend on, A, him getting televised fights, which as long as he keeps winning and doing well, he will, because he seems to be marketable. Frankly, his name, I was going to joke about end-of-the-year awards. He has the coolest name in boxing. I mean, and he's a nice person. He tweets with his followers. And I don't know. I think he's got it, and I think that we'll see him succeeding independent of his promoter. The benefit for him is that they do get attention. He does have good people behind him, so he'll continue to get television exposure. I think it'll just be independent of what's going on over there in Las Vegas.
Right. I totally agree with you. And before we go on to the next fight, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. Jay Leon Love will be a champion by the end of next year. Guaranteed. I see him being one of the next best things in Boston. I like him. I think he's that talented. People might call, you can call me crazy, but I think a lot of people will agree with me where I say he's got a lot of potential to be one of the next big things.
Yeah, but, I mean, we'll see. You know, theoretically, you know, he's with the right people to move him along at the right rate. He's only 14-0. 14-0 when he went pro in 2010. And probably he needs another year to get to that level, at least another year, maybe even two, to get to that level, in my opinion. I don't think they need to be putting him in with world champions at his level right now. I think they need to take their time a little bit. He's a middleweight. I mean, look at what you have in terms of champions in the middleweight division. I think they need to continue what they're doing, putting him on televised fights, putting him in some, you know, stronger fights, and, you know, go from there. I would say it's going to be 2 years.
I'm going with next year. By the end of next year, it has to be. I'll be upset. I am going to be saddened, stricken with grief. I'm going to need tissues if he's not a champion by the end of next year.
Oh, my goodness. I've never done a pie bet, and I'm willing to do one right now. Why don't you explain to the listeners what a pie bet is?
Oh, man. I, you know, you're the one that told me that I need to stop gambling, so I'm not going to take you up on this.
It's pie. It's not money. I will send you a pie.
Well,
you're going to have to let them know what it is. The listeners, a pie bet is...
Basically, a pie bet is, you know, the loser has to pie themselves in the face and, you know, post it up, you know. Yeah, I'll take that bet. I'll take the bet that, you know, Jay Leon will be a title holder by the end of next year.
By the end of 2013. Okay, so I'm going to hold you to that, whether, you know, we're on the show or not on the show. This is going to go on YouTube. One of us is going to get pie. This is my first pie bet. I'm very excited about it.
Definitely. Wow. anyways, that's funny. You just, you know, you cracked me up there. That was pretty funny. The fight that was the main event of that card, though, over in Texas, Fernando Guerrero, he moved his training camp once again. This time he's training with Virgil Hunter. He looked great. For the most part, I thought his feet looked amazing. I think that was the biggest thing. His feet was really amazing in there. Like, he was spinning dude around. He was salsa dancing. He was getting his Victor Cruz on for all you football fans out there. And he looked great. I have always been a fan of him. I've got to see him train a lot when he was training over at 10 Goose Boxing Gym, which was pretty recently. He's a very nice guy. He's a smart kid, very intelligent kid. He goes to school. One thing I was concerned, though, his right hand, his right hook, looks slow as hell to me. But other than that, he looked great. What's your take on Guerrero? Is he going in the right direction as far as making a comeback?
Yeah, for sure. You know what? I loved his footwork. I loved his movement, his speed. I love the fact he'd get in, get out. He wasn't messing around. For his size, he was very fast, I felt. He uses a jab well. And I really have to compliment him on his conditioning because he did, you know, that level of movement he was doing, the back and forth everywhere, typically you don't see that going into later rounds. And he kept up that same level of energy the whole fight, and I was really impressed by that.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing, Guerrero, I've always noticed is he's always been in top shape. I saw when I was watching him work out and train over at 10 Goose, this guy was, you know, he's trying to make weight. He's sweating. He's got the little suit on and all that, the sweatsuit on. And dude was, like, drenched in sweat, but still going 100 miles per hour. I mean, and one thing about him, this move with Virgil Hunter is going to help him out a lot. And this is why. Virgil Hunter, as we all know, is a hell of a trainer. He's a very, it's like a strategist. He's going to teach you a lot. You know, there's a lot of different little factors that he puts in his training as far as technique and strategy goes. Fernando is one of those fighters who loves to listen and take in information. And I know this from just watching him train. When he was being trained with Ricky Funes over at 10 Goose, he was doing something wrong. Ricky would tell him, or even Joe Goosen, who would stop in and tell him a little, you know, hey, you're doing this wrong. You need to turn your hand more when you're throwing this punch. And you could see Fernando listen and practice and keep doing it. So he's a kid that loves to learn. And that's, I think, the kind of fighter that needs to be with Virgil Hunter. Not like I'm going to take a big shot at Amir Khan right now. Amir Khan going to Virgil Hunter, I mean, there's not much Virgil can do to Amir Khan. I mean, Virgil can't teach Amir how to take a punch, you know? So I'm just saying.
Don't hold back.
Yeah, with Fernando, I think this is a great move. I think he looked great in this fight. He battered the guy's face up, though, didn't he? His eyes?
Yeah.
He made that dude's eyes really swollen.
Well, they said the ref stopped it, and I'm like, oh, the ref didn't stop it. I mean, his corner was about to stop it, and you know when he got hit in that round, I think what it was like the sixth or whatever, he was like, I'm done. Like he turned away, like he was done.
Yeah, I thought he quit. I thought he quit too.
He did. I watched it twice just to make sure before I said that. And I'm not blaming him for it because he was,
couldn't see. That's what it was, is he couldn't see. His eyes were almost swollen shut. And because if you look, when he turned around, he points at his eyes. He's pointing at his eyes like he couldn't see the punch, and he's like saying, I can't go on anymore. But, you know, I definitely thought that Fernando did his thing. As far as stepping up, though, do you think it's time for him? I mean, this is his third or fourth fight since making his comeback, and it's hard to say making his comeback because when I say that, if people out there listening aren't familiar or don't remember, Fernando Guerrero was a top prospect at one point, and he suffered a loss to Grady Brewer, I think, if I'm not mistaken, on ESPN Friday Night Fights in the upset, a TKO. It was a kind of a weird fight. Guerrero, I think, went down in weight, and he took a fight that he probably shouldn't have taken. But it is what it is, you know. And now he's trying to, you know, get back to where he was as being a top prospect. Do you think that he's there now, though? Or do you think it's time to see what he can do as far as his career goes?
You know, I'm looking at his opponent, his opposition, and the things he's done. Grady Brewer also beat one of my fighters. It was controversial. So I don't know that I'm not opposed to going and rematching some of those ones that now, okay, I'm better, I'm going to rematch them. It looks like he's the opposition that he's facing is, you know, kind of average, given his record and his only losses against Brewer. I would like to see him step it up. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him and get Rosado again. Get Rosado. He beat Rosado in a unanimous decision, but Rosado's obviously made a comeback in his career as well. That might be a nice – and obviously Rosado's got his own things. He's got, you know, his title fight coming up. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. Like, I'm looking at that 160 division. I think he could step it up now. You know, he fought a 17-10 fighter, 18-15. This guy was 32-11. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's time for him to step it up. I don't know if he's ready for a title shot, but I'd like to see him in an eliminator or something, you know, getting close to that.
You know, I'm going to throw this name out there, and I don't really mean it as far as right now goes or probably ever. But just a fun fight if they were to put them in the next fight. Chavez Jr. versus Fernando Guerrero.
I mean, the weight is pretty disparate. I mean, he's fighting more in the 150s, 160s. I mean, I guess you could make it, but, you know, Chavez isn't going to go down. You're going to have to bring him up. So if he's going to go up, I don't think he should fight somebody of that caliber. Not that he's great.
I'm just going to go and say this. Guerrero, I think, will, like, dance around Chavez. I know it's a mismatch as weight concern. That's why I just brought it up, because it reminded me. I just thought of Sergio Martinez as far as how he just did circles around Chavez. I think it's hilarious.
What about a Matthew Macklin?
Yeah, that'd be a good fight for him, you know?
I think that'd be competitive. They both fought some big-name fighters. You know, Matthew Macklin's trying to make his comeback after losing to Martinez. I think that would be a very solid fight.
Yeah, I think any step up now as far as competition is a good fight.
I think they're pretty even. Like, even in their records, I mean, Macklin's 29-4 with 20 knockouts. Guerrero's 25-1. What's that?
And Macklin's a tough fighter. He's not a pushover by any means.
No. And he, you know, like, obviously, you know, he fought Martinez. He went 11 rounds with him, and then he knocked out this Elstein guy in the first round. I saw that. I mean, it was just a few minutes of a fight. Not even a few minutes, a few seconds. Solid fighter. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing that, actually. Like, the more I, like, think about it, the more I think that their styles would be actually a fun fight to watch.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely agree with you there, though. That'd definitely be good. And the best thing for Fernando, too, or the good thing is now, ever since I don't think he was with them at the time, but now it looks like he's with Al Haymon, and we all know that's, like, one of the right people to be with. So he's getting on TV a lot. You know, and he speaks English, even though he's from Dominican Republic. He speaks great English, you know, perfect. You almost would think he was from here. But he's a talented young fighter. He sure can't sell, though, as we saw in Humble, Texas. I don't know if you noticed, but damn, was that empty or what?
I didn't notice. I was watching just the fights. You know, I came in from Chicago today and just kind of got right on and watched all the fights, and I was focused on the fights, but I didn't realize that. So they didn't do very well with the numbers, huh?
It didn't look like it to me. I saw a lot of empty seats. It looked like they just filled in the front rows and that was it, man. But, hey, this is it's Humble, Texas. I don't know. I don't quite know where Humble, Texas is. If any listeners are from Humble, Texas, give us a call and let me know. I have no idea where the hell that is. But it definitely was empty. We'll see what they do next, though. I mean, Guerrero, we all know Haymon likes his fighters to try to sell out seats, you know, so put some butts in the seats. So let's see what Guerrero can do if they're going to really try to keep on pushing him.
Yeah.
But on that note, on that card, too, there's another kid that fought on the card. He's a prospect. Antonio Capuan, he won by decision. But here's the thing, I'm not impressed with it. He fought a guy that he probably should have knocked out, maybe.
Yeah, I guess the guy was like 2-9 or something, right? Or something like that in that 2-7, 2-9.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And that's what I was going to ask you here is, and it's not just for Capuan, it's for any big-time prospect who's undefeated and making a name for himself. Do you feel that when they fight a guy who's 2-9 or 1-10, you know, with a horrible record like that, and he's probably been knocked out more than half their losses. Do you feel that it's they basically have to win by knockout?
I'll tell you that based on my very, very limited experience, that is what the managers, the big-name managers that I've spoken with and promoters are looking for. If you're fighting subpar competition, you better be knocking them out. And if you're struggling against them, they're not going to be interested. And I'm going to give you an example. I have a fighter who is fighting in the area where the competition shouldn't be that hard. And there was a bigger name manager who was going to work with him and saw that, you know, he's losing against some competition that he's assuming shouldn't be hard. And now he doesn't want to. Now he hasn't lost. He's won, but he's won by draw on one. He got a draw on one. He won by decision. And now the manager's like, uninterested. Because at that level, with 1 in 10 fighters, 2 in 7 fighters, you should be knocking them out if you're of any substance. And that's not me saying that. That's managers that I've spoken with, you know, that have been in the business a long time. That being said, I mean, this fighter that he fought wasn't going down. This fighter is another, you know, I don't have his record in front of me. I'd be interested to know how many times he's actually been knocked out, if at all, of the, you know, the 9 losses or whatever. But, you know, he's one of the hardcore Mexican fighters. He just would not go down. And I can see he was getting hurt and staying up. So I had a moment where I was like, well, this guy should be knocking him out. But then I thought, this guy just isn't going down. And I've seen that, you know, there's a fighter that's doing everything he can, and he can't get the guy to go down.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I pretty much agree with you. He's been knocked out 3 times. I just pulled it up right now. He's been knocked out 3 times out of his now 11 losses. Man, I understand. I can see exactly what managers and stuff are looking at. I would assume the same thing. If you're going to fight subpar competition, you better put them on their ass, straight up. Like, you better hurt the guy at least, like. So, I mean, I want to see the guy get knocked down maybe once, maybe even twice if you're not going to knock him out when you're fighting a guy of this caliber. Because to me, if you're not, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like you need to get rid of these guys. That's what boxing fans love to see anyways. Boxing fans love knockouts.
And from their standpoint, and this is kind of an opinion of mine, this isn't necessarily true, but there's so much, like, boxing managers have access to so much more talent now because of YouTube and just the internet and technology that they didn't have before. So for a prospect, you have to be more than just super impressive. You have to be special for them to be interested in you. And, you know, if you're not impressing against a fighter that's 2 and something, the managers, promoters, I mean, I'm not a manager promoter, so this is just my opinion. But they're going to look at that and say, why aren't you? Because this kid over here I just found on YouTube that lives in, you know, Oklahoma can, you know. And so I'm not saying it's the end for this kid. I liked him. I liked his style. I want to see him again. I'm not, you know, writing him off at all.
Right. Well, since you just gave me a perfect segue right into it, you want to know who was impressive? I'm going to tell you who was impressive. Mr. Olympian himself from Mexico, Oscar Valdez, was freaking impressive. That dude, I like him.
I wish I'd seen it. I wish I'd seen it. I've been following him.
Hey, watch it. That's all I got to say. I can't even tell you right now. I'm speechless. That dude, that kid, I hate to even call him a kid because he fights like a grown-ass man. That dude is vicious. He's entertaining. Body shots. Headshot, man. He attacks you with intent to hurt. I like this kid. Making his pro debut, it was really great. He took his opponent out in the second round, you know, and he just entertained everybody. He already has a fight lined up in December. He's going to be fighting in Vegas at the Texas Station. He's fighting a real tough opponent named TBA. But, you know, I like him. I love this. All those Olympians starting to get on their fights now, and they're showing them. I'm going to talk about this later because we got next week where we got a bunch of U.S. Olympians fighting and making their debut. But you didn't see the fight. I'll tell you this. Watch it, and watch it twice, watch it 3 times, because this kid is for real.
No, I know he is. I looked for his fights. I followed in the Olympics because actually You know, sometimes I do PR for a promoter here in Phoenix, Iron Boy Promotions. One of their fighters is Tomas Valdez, who is Oscar's cousin. So I definitely have been kind of following him during the Olympics when he was fighting for Mexico. I've been cheering for him and rooting for him, and I didn't catch it because I was, you know, I was out of town when he fought. And so I'm just, you know, I'm definitely going to look for it. It wasn't, Sweet Boxing has everything on there usually, and it wasn't on there yet, but I'm going to keep looking for it. So.
And for everyone who didn't know, yeah, Emily was living that jet life this weekend, flying in planes, first class to Chicago and back, enjoying movies on the airplane. She lives that jet life out there in Arizona. So, you know, congratulations to you and your jet life.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm flying first class, and no, I'm just kidding. I was in the 32nd row in the middle seat. So
you got to be very modest, and she's lying. Don't believe her. She was talking on a money phone. She was trying to text me on a money phone. I told her I don't have that service.
Well, I was talking to 50, and he like, no, I'm just kidding. You don't even know this, that I saw that Floyd's doppelganger in the airport in Phoenix when I was going out to Chicago. And I texted a couple people the picture, and they all agree that this guy looked just like Floyd. And I didn't have the guts to go talk to him and get his opinion on the mix-up. But I'll text you a picture later on of Floyd's doppelganger here in Phoenix. But, yeah, I was I did watch Step It Up Revolution, which I'm looking forward to watching with Josh at some point.
Back to the topic at hand. So you've been watching Oscar, though, a little bit. You've seen, like, you know, his amateur stuff, right?
Yeah, he's a solid fighter. I'm not surprised at all that Top Rank snatched him up. You saw, you know, the American fighters, Golden Boy was more angling for them. Top Rank went straight to Mexico and got Oscar, and I'm not even surprised about that. He's right up their alley in terms of the type of fighter he is, the weight, the fact that he's Mexican. They seem to, you know, kind of be the promoters that, you know, angle towards the Mexican fighters. And, you know, obviously he performed. They're thrilled. You know, from what I've heard, they're very happy with him.
Yeah, and that's just like Top Rank. Top Rank, Bob Arum loves his Mexican fighters. We all know that.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you this, like, Twitter was exploding when that fight was on. A bunch of people were tweeting me, because I tweeted something out like, oh my God, this guy's the real deal. And after his first fight, I'm already saying that. That's how excited I got. But someone like was tweeting me how he's a wicked body puncher and he likes to brawl. The fact that he likes to brawl is a great thing as far as being fan friendly. But for a young fighter, do you think that's a bad thing that he likes to brawl?
I think he has some maturing to do, based on just what I saw in the Olympics. I mean, obviously the Olympics, the scoring's different. You know, a brawler typically does better in the amateur game because it doesn't accuracy and strength of your punch is not as important as the number of punches you throw. As he gets acclimated to the pro game, I think he's going to do better. I don't know who his trainer is. I'm hoping that, you know, they're sending him that way. I'm assuming if Top Rank's involved, then, you know, he will be going that direction.
Definitely. And I like that they're already trying to get him fights quick, you know, already have him scheduled for December. Shout out to Top Rank. So I love that they do this. They put those fights, these small little fights, on their website.
I think that
is great for boxing. Golden Boy needs to step up their game, and you know, because right now Top Rank is outdoing them in a lot of different ways, in my opinion. That's just great for boxing. We talk every time about Sweet Boxing, you know, how great what he does, what Ryan Bivens does for boxing addicts everywhere, putting videos up at right after the fight's on or even during the fight, like, the dude's on point. We'd all talk about how that's great for boxing. But Top Rank soon is just as great because we get to see these prospects that we normally wouldn't see. Like, you know, who would have thought that we would have seen Oscar Valdez, his first fight, on just aired anywhere, granted this internet, but, you know, like a couple years ago. That would never have happened.
I was surprised even to see his weigh-in picks. You know, I saw Takate was putting them on, and I was like, oh, good, you know, that's good. I was surprised that Top Rank did that, and I was happy. You know, it is good for boxing. You know, anytime you can expose more people to the sport. I mean, as long as it's not taking away from ticket sales, which is what they're going for, 99% of the time I don't think it is. You know, with somebody like Oscar, they're tweeting it out. They're putting it out there. Golden Boy doesn't do that. They don't tweet the weights out. They don't tweet the pictures out. You know, and I'd like to see them doing that more because I think their boxers would you know, get more exposure. Like, even I had Jamie Kavanaugh fighting with Golden Boy, and I, you know, it's a little harder to get the pictures and stuff. And I have relationships more with Top Rank, but even so, you know, at the beginning, when I first started working with Top Rank boxers, you know, I had to go online and get the pictures like everybody else. So I'd like to see Golden Boy stepping up their e-game, if you will, and, you know, putting more out there for the fans to see and for those of us who, you know, don't have access to that stuff.
Now, yeah, I totally agree with you. But now, I'm going to ask you as a, you know, as a PR person and someone who's, you know, involved in a lot of this, with Oscar Valdez, do you try to promote him as, you know, as a, not just a Mexican fighter, but, you know, how can I say this? You know, like, get him to start speaking a lot of English, too, you know, so he can go everywhere. And, you know, he's a young kid. He's not that bad looking of a kid either. He's actually looks kind of like a hood, thug, cholo dude. Like, I mean, as far as, like, he looks badass, like, Odile Holmes, you know, like, is that, how do you promote him? How would you go as far as going with that?
I think that you market him to the Mexican audience, the same people that are looking at Canelo as the next big thing. It's the same people. It's people from Mexico, some Mexican-Americans, but primarily people from Mexico or in Mexico. That's your target audience, in my opinion, because then, you know, it would be nice if you learned English. That would be great. But there are plenty of fighters that are Latino, that speak English that you can market. So, you know, if he's already there, he's in Mexico doing his pro debut, they probably will put his fights online, the next several fights. He'll probably fight on some small cards out there with Beltran in Mexico, and I think that's good. And I think just building up his reputation, you know, he's already a Mexican hero. He went to the Olympics for Mexico. Really focusing on the Mexican and Mexican-American audience, I mean, to me, you know, whether he learns English or not, for him, I mean, for some fighters, that is important. For Oscar Valdez, my opinion is that it's not as important. Yeah, okay, if you want to get him to the point where he's like Juan Manuel Marquez and he's on, you know, huge cards here in the States, yes, eventually he'll have to learn. But you look at Canelo, you look at some of these other fighters, and, you know, I think he'd be fine just to continue building his reputation and his career in Mexico, and I think that's appropriate, given that he was a Mexican Olympian, and, you know, he already has the connections there. I would like to see that.
Well, his next fight is already scheduled for in Vegas, so he's already trying to, they're already trying to bring him out here to the States. I think that's a plus.
But even so, you know, to market to Mexico, I think that he's probably Top Rank's answer to Canelo, in my opinion. That's not from any information I've ever heard or anything that he said, but that's going to be their answer to him. I mean, they have Chavez, obviously.
So you're telling me, yeah, I was just going to say, so you're telling me Chavez Jr. is not the answer to Canelo?
No. Not, you know, like I said, he's not Chavez, but he's the next one. You know, like, okay, there's Chavez and Canelo right now. What comes next?
Right. No, I definitely
see what you're
saying. I mean,
Canelo's still super young, but you have to hedge your bets. You have to say, all right, Chavez lost already. You have to say, all right, maybe, you know, Chavez bounces back and he's still their hero, you know. But they want to, I mean, this is all opinion. This is not like anything I know, no fact. But my opinion is, you know, it's their job to have multiple stars. And have another Mexican star in their stable is not, you know, a negative thing.
Well, Chavez Jr. is definitely a hero to all the weed smokers out there, all the potheads out there. They lost a hero when he took that knockout or that decision loss to Martinez. But I'm sure he'll bounce back like any weed shop in California. Anyways, on that note, let's go real quick. I'm going to tell everyone, don't forget to give us a call, 347-215-7598. If you want to talk boxing, whatever. If you want to talk Oscar Valdez, I want to hear your thoughts. If you watch that fight, what your thoughts are, you know, so go ahead and, you know, go ahead and give us a call. Let's talk about that or anything that happened over this weekend or in the future. You got next week's card with all the U.S. Olympians, pretty much, Rasheed Warren, Terrell Gachet, Dominic Brazil, and Gary Russell Jr. all fighting on the same card. That's going to be very entertaining. But also, don't forget, our Monday, Leave It in the Ring also produces a bunch of the shows other than the Boxing Fix. Don't forget, on Mondays, we got Noche de Boxeo, 5 Pacific. That's the Spanish version of basically Leave It in the Ring. So all you Spanish speakers, check it out, man. It's a great show if you speak Spanish. I personally don't understand it too well, but I try to listen to it so I can learn. It's like my Rosetta Stone. Don't forget, Thursday nights is the big show, Leave It in the Ring Radio, with your host, Dave Duenas, and the Dark Cloud, Gabriel Montoya. That's 3 hours of boxing talk, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Great show, always a great show, great interviews. So make sure you check that out. And all you boxing addicts, you know, like I say every single week, make sure you go get your Undisputed Fight magazine at UndisputedFightMag.com. Make sure you check that out. You must get it. If you're a boxing addict, you claim all this and that, and you don't get it, you know, you're not, man, you're not real. I'm just saying. So make sure you go check that out. Always great stuff, great articles from a bunch of great writers. And that's pretty much it for right now. You know, I'm going to go repeat that a little bit later. But make sure you guys call in 347-215-7598. On that note, are you back, Emily? Is Emily here? I think she's been ran real quick. Anyways, on that note, Frankie Gomez made his comeback fight after being out for about a little over a year off some bunch of legal issues and all that stuff. You know, he was a great prospect at one point. After a year layoff, you don't know what you think of him, but he got in the ring and did his thing, fought Manuel Leyva, beat him third round knockout, just battered the guy. Manuel did not deserve to be in the same ring as Frankie. I've always been a fan of Frankie, just kind of crazy that, you know, everything that's gone on with his past, with the issues of drugs and all that. I hope he get his life is straight again, because that's obviously the most important thing, is getting your life straight. You, no matter how good of a boxer you are, it don't matter if you can't stay clean, sober, and out of trouble. So good for him. It was a hell of a fight for him. Emily, your thoughts. Frankie.
I mean, he looked really solid. I was really happy to see him back. Happy to see him performing as well as he was. You know, he had Freddie in his corner. There's a couple people text me about that today. Why is Freddie in Frankie's corner? Well, they've been working together a couple months. You know, he made weight. You know, he's looking good.
Yeah, I'm really hoping he's cleaning his act up. That's the thing. He has a lot of talent. 13 wins, no losses, no draws. 10 wins by knockout. I mean, what more can you ask for in a fighter right now? You know, he's young. He's, you know, he's East L.A. bred. You know, he's just so talented. It was just so sad to see him. I know a few people that are really close with his family and stuff, and it's just kind of, I guess the word is right word to use, it's kind of tragic, the fact that he had to take such a long time to get back in the ring because of, you know, outside of the ring problems.
You know, and I think that it's really speaks to Golden Boy for, you know, believing in him and putting him as the you know, main event fighter, his first fight back. Manuel Leyva was not an easy opponent. Like, he made it look easy, but if you look at his record, you look at the people he's fought, it was a risky opponent. They could have picked somebody less risky for his comeback. So.
Yeah, and just, in fact, not just even having the faith to put him in the main event, but the faith is sticking by him, you know? I'm sure there's a way to get out of the contract with a guy who's getting in trouble and stuff. But he, you know, they had faith in him, and they stayed right by his side on it the whole way. He's only 20 years old, you know? So you got to assume, you know, he's lived a hard life. Look where he's from. He's from East L.A. For everyone who's never been to California or whatever, East L.A. is not the best area, you know, to be born and bred. That's where, you know, not everybody come out of East L.A. looking in like Oscar De La Hoya, you know.
Right.
And I'm not going to – that's all I'm going to say. I could have gone worse, but I'll be very nice there.
No, you're good. I mean, I think it's just it just goes to the fact that, okay, he had a mess up. Let's see if he recovers. And then people can stop. You know, at that point, it's just good for the sport, even that he, you know, stepped away. You know, there were some articles out there about him, you know, struggling and Golden Boy getting mad and this and that. And, you know, he's proven himself again that he can make the comeback, he can make weight, he can make, you know, put in the dedication. He's working with Freddie Roach, which means, you know, Freddie Roach isn't going to work with him unless he knows he's committed. So,
So on that note, I got to say something. I'm gonna stir up the pot. And you're probably going to hate me for saying this. I know we can't have it happen because of the Cold War and everything. Prospect versus Prospect. A rematch from the amateur days. Frankie and Jose Benavides.
You know, I mean, obviously, I can't. My opinion on this fight is that Junior would win based on the fact that he's a more technical fighter. It goes back again to the brawler versus boxer mentality. And the fact that in the amateurs, the brawler mentality serves you better. You're throwing more punches. You know, the strength of your punches, you know, doesn't outweigh the number of punches. With Junior, his punches are a lot more accurate. He has the reach. My opinion is that Junior would win. I'm obviously completely biased. For the listeners, I'm Benavidez's publicist, and I've worked with his family for 6-7 years now. So,
shameless plug.
No, I mean, I have to say that. Like, I can't give my opinion without saying the fact that my opinion is totally biased. But at the same time, you know, Frankie's a good fighter. You know, I'd like to see him keep his head in the game. And that super fight that every single time he gets interviewed, people bring up Junior. And it used to happen with us, too. They've kind of stopped because, you know, he's kind of off the radar. But I'm sure it'll start again now. You know, exactly what you just did, where people say, hey, what about Frankie Gomez? And then, you know, we just say, yeah, whenever everybody thinks it just happened, it'll happen. And, you know, if so, like, right now they're fighting at different weights. So we'll see if they even end up at the same weight.
Yeah, no, I just had to stir up the pot real quick there.
No, I mean, you're not stirring up the pot. This is something that comes up all the time. And Jose Sr. talks to Frankie's dad. Like, they're friends. I mean, they don't hang out and have drinks, but they know each other from the amateurs. So, I mean, the community is a lot tighter than people realize, and there's nobody that wishes ill upon each other. But, yeah, I mean, Frankie beat Junior a couple times, and Junior beat Frankie once. So, I mean, you know, it's definitely something in the future that may happen.
Yeah, I mean, probably won't because it's Golden Boy and Top Rank. And
well, you never know. I mean, where everybody ends up.
10 years from now, we're going to be in the same situation still probably. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, I think the minds will be correct before the Golden Boy and Top Rank work with each other for real. But on that undercard, though, you're a fighter. I want you to lead us off with your fighter. Jamie Kavanaugh fought, man, and he's a guest of our show. And nice guy, nice young kid. What'd you get out of it? You already said most of it earlier, but, you know, recap.
You know, he was tested. He was tested. He hurt the guy, man. I'm going to give this guy, you know, a little props here because I don't it's like the third round, fourth round, somewhere in that range. Jamie hurt him. The guy, I thought the ref was going to stop it. The guy wasn't throwing punches. He was on the ropes. Jamie was just pummeling him, and I was like, man, this fool needs to stop it, and he didn't. And he hurt Jamie a few times. He cut him, and he also, you know, rocked him a couple times, but Jamie came back and won. I'm proud of him. You know, there's not a lot more I can say. I mean, I don't think the scores were as disparate as the first judge said, where it was like 80-72 or something, Jamie. But, you know, Jamie obviously won a majority of the rounds. I'm looking at, you know, 78, whatever. But
The scores were 79-73, 78-74, and 80-72.
It's the 80-72 card. I was like, no. The kid definitely won a round. I want to say the second round. And I was, you know, I'm watching the fight. He's my fighter. I'm emotionally invested. I'm getting concerned, and I'm going to say that he hung in and he did his work. He was challenged, and he took the challenge, and he succeeded. I'm so proud of him. You know, nobody can say anything about him now. Now we're looking at, you know, kind of what's next.
Now, that was my next question. What is next for Jamie? What would you think he goes from here? Eight round fight. Is the next move a 10-rounder and better competition or what? I mean, not knocking on Ramon. Ramon is the pretty solid. Ramon's always been that guy that gets in the ring and fights his heart out. He fought a prospect who I was high on, who actually just suffered his first loss, so Kevin Hoskins. But Ramon's no pushover, so I don't want to sound like I'm dissing him by saying step up in level competition, but you know what I mean, 10-rounder.
I think a 10-rounder, you know, like you said, I think everybody knew that this competition, this level of competition with Ramon was a step up. A lot of people thought it was going to be a a war, and it was. So I don't know. I think that stepping him up to 10 rounds, I mean, I don't know. I'm not his manager, his promoter, but I'm guessing that they're going to be looking at that and, you know, a youth title, something like that at some point. I mean, he's getting to that point. So I don't know what's next for him. I haven't talked to his team yet to see what the next fight is or what their thoughts are. But, you know, I know that he's not leaving town. Like, last time he left after his fight for, 2 months or something, or a month and a half to the UK, he's not doing that this time. He's staying here. So I'm guessing he'll get a fight pretty soon.
If I'm not mistaken, he stays out in California now, right?
Yeah, he lives in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Poor guy. but yeah, that would be a smart thing, definitely, to stay local and not go back home and just get back in the gym. I think that's the best bet for him.
Yeah.
To stay active and get right back in the gym. I'm looking at it right now. He's fought four times this year. He's an active fighter. So I definitely think that, he needs to basically get back in the gym, work on certain things, work maybe a little bit more on his defense, and hopefully get a fight by the end of the year. Could he do that? I wouldn't say he got that hurt too bad, you know?
No, what does Golden Boy have on the calendar, though, for the rest of the year? I mean, we're talking, it's the 1st of November. It'd have to be middle of December, and I don't know what they have on the calendar for middle of December.
That's true. I'm sure
there'll
be another one. I know Golden Boy does a lot of those Anaheim fights, those little club fights.
Yeah.
But
I'll let you guys know next week what the plan is.
You guys heard that first. Everyone listen, Emily, the PR superstar, will let us know next week, next Sunday on Jamie's Future. Maybe we'll get Jamie on pretty soon again and talk about his last fight. But
yeah, I'm sure he'd be happy to come on.
Oh, yeah, he's a nice guy. Always fun to talk to him, That was actually a real fun show when we had him on here.
You guys know, too, that he speaks Spanish, right? Like, I'm always like, why do they put him on these telefuturas? It's because he speaks Spanish. He grew up in Spain. His trainer speaks Spanish to him. I've called him a few times where his trainers answered. And my he's, from Spain. So my horrible Spanish that I've learned here in Phoenix does not apparently translate to whatever he knows. So, just FYI.
That is something I did not know, though. I did not know he speaks Spanish, and I would probably be shocked if an Irish guy... Is that what he is, right?
He's Irish, but he's Irish. Yeah.
If an Irish guy came up to me speaking Spanish with an Irish accent, I think I would be scared, just because that's something new to me. But,
well, let's set that up.
Him saying in Hollywood, I guess that fits it perfectly. Because you got all different types of people out here, It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. On that note, I want to talk about this just a little bit real quick before our two guests call in a little bit. One of your favorite fighters, and I'm just kidding, by the way, so don't get mad at me. Lucian Bute defeated Dennis, was it? Man, I hate saying these things. Rashiv. Kind of had a little bit of trouble. I mean, he started, Bute started getting punches landed, hard punches in the 12th round. Can he not go 12 rounds for reals or what?
I didn't watch the fight. I'm going to be honest because I just watched as much as I could in the time I had, but. I would like to see him go 12 rounds and be impressive, and I haven't seen that. So I'm not, the fight with Andrade kind of made me a non-believer in Bute.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know. And, I mean, this was my question. You don't need it, regardless if you saw the fight or not. How he wants that rematch with Frotch or whatever.
I thought he was going to beat Frotch, to be honest with you, in that fight.
I did too, but obviously we both were nuts for even thinking because he wasn't even close. Do you think he should get that rematch anytime soon? Like, come on. Like, this guy really went 12 rounds with Denis Grashev and had somewhat of problems.
He had some trouble, right? It was like a comeback because I read about it. It was like a him. I mean, I think that wouldn't be the smartest thing, but did he... I you know, let's fight some other people. I think a super fight in Canada would be him and Pascal. Go beat Pascal, because I like Pascal a lot. I met him in Phoenix. He had a camp here. I really like him. Beat Pascal, you know, and that find a weight that works for both of you, and then come and fight Frotch after that. That's my opinion. Frotch beat Pascal for the title like 5 years ago, something like that. Like, that was when I met him. He was training for that fight. But I think I want to see Boutte and Pascal fight in Canada. It'll be a super fight for the country. It'll be a big deal there. And then if he beats Pascal, then fight Frotch again.
I don't think he can get past Pascal, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
I agree with you. But that, I think, is the right path for both fighters. Because they're at the point now where they can make the most money and have the biggest fight. If either one of them loses another fight, they're not going to be as marketable for that big super fight. Right now, I think it's still a super fight in Canada. I think even the fans in the U.S. that are boxing fans and know who they are would like to see it. I think that would be the right move for both of them.
Well, definitely. I mean, I think it would be great. It would be great for the Canadian fans. This is kind of off the boxing topic. I mean, it has a lot to do with boxing, but this new TV that they have, TV channel, Wealth TV, do you get it?
No, I think it's something you subscribe to online. Is it? I don't know the story, but I know my friend Mark, he's a commentator for there. I think he subscribed like $1 a month or something.
And that's another smart thing. See, the more we get these little things, even though it's a dollar or whatever, I mean, I know we have our free links anyways. We're not going to say that, you know. No one heard me say that. But, you know, that's another good thing that boxing has been getting into is these different forms of bringing you fights, bringing the fight fans closer to fights that they want to see that normally they can't.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's nice to have access to those. I mean, I really think I don't know how to market it better because I'm a fan, you know, and I don't know about it until the fight's going on and people are saying, where can I see this? You know, and then they talk about it. So I don't know how they can maybe market it better to fans.
Yeah, I mean, especially when we get all the free links anyways, but I still think it's a hell of a job. Also, on that card, I want to just talk about this a little bit. I think it's going to be fun to just brag on it. Alan Green. Man, Alan Green. Alan Green. That's all I can really say right now. He got knocked down early in the fight. I'm trying to... What round was that? I think it was like the fifth round. You know, he got up, and what did he do? He knocked out his opponent. If I told you that, like I just did, would you believe that?
No, I mean, no, because you'd be like, really? The guy, did he not quit on his stool? I thought I read that on Twitter or something. That may not be true, but yeah, like apparently somebody in the corner of the opponent was like, I can't deal with this guy, and that was a surprising comment given it's Alan Green. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you got to hear this guy. He's still fighting.
Yeah, I know, and that's the other thing I was going to ask you. Is this a good thing that he's still fighting?
There are many fighters who need to retire. And
yeah, that's true.
The problem is, you know, the crop coming up is kind of, there's not a ton of them, you know. Like, we have, I'd say, you know, 30, 40, 50 fighters that are, like, coming up, and so these guys keep fighting because they can, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, shout-out to Alan Green, though. He's been in the ring with some rugged, tough fighters. He's been in there with Mikhail Kessler when Kessler knocked him out in the first round. He's got in there and got knocked out by Glenn Johnson in the eighth. Andre Ward, you know, that's some solid opponents, you know. Edison Miranda. I'm just going through some of the fights right now. I'm just naming all his losses, really. But he's only lost to tough competition, though. He's beating everybody he was supposed to, pretty much. But the fact that he got up after being knocked down is what I think has shocked everybody. I didn't believe it when I saw people saying this on Twitter because I was actually hanging out with my grandfather who got out of the hospital, and I was following the fights on Twitter. And when I first saw he got knocked down, I was like, oh, it's over. And then I saw the fight still going on. I was like, no way. Shit, Alan Green got some heart left in him. Good job, old man. Good job. But that's shocking in itself, you know. But I went home, saw it, and then he fought a tough fight, got off the canvas, and put in work, you know. I think his vet being such a old timer or a veteran is what paid off in this fight. Won't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but definitely a thought of retiring should be hitting, you know, hitting his dome in a second, because I think he's pretty much a wrap. Would you put him on at least the top three of fighters you want to see retire?
Top three: Jermaine Taylor, Evander Holyfield, and Glenn Johnson. So no, he wouldn't be in the top three.
You see, I'd rather see him retire before Glenn Johnson.
Well, there's more that I'm not going to mention, but yeah, there's other fighters, but yeah, he's up there for sure.
Uh-oh, I want someone that you don't want to mention. Damn, you must have some cold, you must be cold-blooded right now knowing you.
No.
But go ahead. Are you still there?
Yeah, there's certain fighters, you know, that they're fighting and they shouldn't be based on their MRIs and those types of things. They're just fighting in places that allow it, and those are the fighters that I want to see retire, and I know one, and I'd like to see him, you know, hang it up.
Definitely. Also, just a side note, too, I was going through some, different sites and everything, and I noticed this, Craig McEwen, I don't know if that name rings a bell.
Yeah.
He lost to a prize fighter or whatever in the middleweight tournament. He lost over the weekend in a 3-round split decision against a guy who was 3-0, the whole prize fighter thing. That was a bit shocking. I haven't seen it, but I thought it was something that, you know, people, if you didn't check it out, Craig McEwen fighting in this tournament, that's kind of shocking, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know he was in that tournament. I've heard of him. I don't know a lot about him, but when I was going through the fights today that I wanted to watch, I went to watch that one. I didn't have time.
Yeah, that definitely shocked me when I came across that. Did not see that coming at all, especially, I mean, Craig McEwen is a guy that, you know, I think a lot of fight fans know who he is. I didn't even know he was in that tournament. That was pretty shocking. But anyways, just wanted to mention that real quick. One fight I want to get to from over the weekend, Marco Huck, he went on and defeated Arslan Ferhat by 12-round unanimous decision. It was a very fun fight to watch. I thought it was entertaining. But, man, it was interesting. You know, Huck was his usual self, but Arslan, you know, had a few rounds. He was coming back. He was, you know, he looked good. It was a tough fight. I don't know what this says about Huck getting in a tough fight with a guy that I think many believe that he was going to run through. You know,
I heard that his trainer, I don't know if it was as controversial as his trainer made it sound. I didn't watch the fight yet, but I heard that his trainer, like, jumped in the ring, called everybody, like, liars and cheaters. What was the story on that?
I was just reading a little bit about it not before the show. I know that Ferrari went on and said that decisions like this is what kills boxing and stuff. I personally had the score close, 115-113. But one judge, and this might be what he's really upset, is one judge had it 117-111. But I wouldn't say that he got totally, you know, shafted. I don't think he got shafted at all. I think Huck won. But there were some swing rounds. There was some close rounds in there, in some people's opinions. You know, so I think it's a fighter being competitive. You know how certain fighters think. By all means, I don't think it was one fight that stands out is like Juan Diaz and Paulie Malignaggi, where that was clearly a robbery.
Right.
You know, so. It was interesting, but what does that tell you about Huck, though? I mean, you know, it's Huck's 35-2 now, you know, with one draw. You would think he was going to beat this dude, you know, easily, right?
Yeah.
You know,
that
so
was the plan. I mean,
yeah. Where do you think that leaves Huck now, though?
I mean, the cruiserweight division in the entire world is not very deep. That's one thing I'm learning. you know, I think he needs to you know, find some competition in that division. I don't know who that is. You know, it's not a very deep division.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, whether he's going to move up or what to heavyweight, he'll get killed. I don't know.
It seems like a lot of cruiserweights are doing that. They're moving into
you pretty much have to lately, you know, just because.
I read something about him fighting one of the Klitschko's at some point. I don't know if that's going to happen, but.
Oh, man. I have no idea. But yeah, that was just a crazy scene out there, you know. And go figure, it's always all, you know, across the pond, you know, Germany and all the different places. So always seems to be at least one fight that has to have some kind of drama in it regarding the scoring. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen out here, because we all know it does too. But you know, like in Germany, it's like so known for these judging to get, you know, jack up the fights. That's, you know, on that topic, since we're on it, what do you think about judges? Do you think these guys start getting punished more?
Well, I mean, that's a really tricky subject. I believe that there's a lot of factors that go into it. If a judge judges a fight really horribly, to the point where, like, nobody watching the fight saw the same thing, does that mean they're a bad judge? Does that mean they're on the take? What does that mean, really? And I think it's really hard. That's one of the problems with this sport. It's really hard to really identify where the source is of that problem.
Right, right. We'll probably get back to that in a bit. We do have our guest on. Emily, why don't you? I think we got Diego on the line now. Let's bring in Diego Magdaleno.
Hi, Diego. How are you?
Hey there. This is Diego here and younger brother Jesse as well.
Hi, you guys. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming on the show. I have been watching the Magdalenos for a couple of years now. They always, Benavidez Jr. always seems to fight on the same cards as them, so I've had a lot of exposure, and they're just nice guys. They seem to kind of keep to themselves. They've been involved in the rest of the drama in Las Vegas that we've seen as of late. And,
right.
You know, I'm really excited to have you guys on, because we have both brothers fighting in the next month, pretty much.
Yeah. I also noticed, too, both of you guys are fighting. Not only are you guys fighting on the same card, but this is the same card that Oscar Valdez is going to be on, who we were just talking about earlier. Another top prospect for you, both of you guys. But do you guys have an opponent yet for that December 7th date?
As of yet, we had a couple of names, but nothing in writing yet.
All right. Well, let me just kind of start out. We have both brothers on, Diego and Jesse Magdaleno. Diego's in the 130 range, right? You're the NABF champion in the 130 weight class, correct?
Yes.
And then Jesse's the younger brother, 20 years old, 122 pounds. He usually fights at. They've often been on the same cards. I love the fact that when one of you guys fights on the card, it's usually Jesse fights first, and then, you know, he goes, is it one of you guys fights on the card, and then the other comes out still in your outfit to watch the other brother? You guys always support each other. I've always really liked it. What is it like being brothers, watching each other fight in the sport, training together? You know, what is it like working together in the sport? You know, it's a kind of a rough sport, both in the ring and out.
Yeah, I'll take care of that question. It feels good for me because I see my younger brother, you know, right there in the gym next to me every day, and it's a great pleasure to have him, you know, working with me. We worked great together, and just to see him, you know, get in the ring and kick ass just fires me up. So it's a big step for me, and I like to be the example.
That's good. And you guys have another brother, right, Marco? Is that he's also involved in the sport?
Yes, Marco just turned 17, and he's doing very well in the amateurs right now.
All right. Are we going to see him getting also a top ring contract and being involved in, you know, and fighting on the same cards as you guys? Are we going to see a lot of brother?
Yeah, as far as that goes, when he's ready to turn pro, you know, I'm sure top ranks, they've been nothing but good with us. So, I mean, they have, you know, first shot at him, but he still has a long way to go.
Well, it's good, you know, like to see you guys would be the first that I mean, Josh, can you think of any, you know, where there's three brothers all signed by the promoter, all fighting professionally, like actively? Like, can you think of any situations like that?
Hey, no, not offhand, but I'll tell you this, that'd be awesome because this, you know, if everything goes as planned, you got two older brothers who's going to be champions. You don't have to find much fighters to fill an undercard, man. You guys can sell yourselves right there.
You guys need more brothers.
Oh, yeah.
You could have your own card. How did you guys get involved in boxing? I know you fight out of Barry's Boxing Gym, right, in Las Vegas?
Right, uh-huh. I started out there in East LA in a gym called Brooklyn Boxing Gym. I started there for maybe 8 months before we moved to Las Vegas. And then Barry's Boxing, I picked up from there and continued on in my career. And this is a fight capital of the world. And, I mean, everything, I'm blessed to have, everything I have now and to be where I'm at.
And I see you guys, like, Barry's just had, like, a smoker, an event a couple weeks ago. Are you guys still involved in the amateurs that are at the gym there as well?
Oh, yeah. We show a lot of the kids, a lot of support because when we have fights, Jesse and myself, we the whole gym is there, standing proud beside us. So we kind of want to give back and do the same thing for the amateurs.
That's awesome. You guys, I see you tag, like, in Twitter and Instagram with Victor Ortiz. What is your relationship with him? You guys are with him a lot. Like, it seems like whenever he goes to Vegas, you guys are all hanging out together. How do you know him, and what's the relationship there?
Victor, to me, he's, I've known him. He's a long-time good friend of the family and everything. I know him through our amateur background. Every time we went to, like, the Nationals, we were just, like, we ended up being great friends, and, you know, now that, you know, we're fighting as pro, we kind of just, we kept that close bond with each other, and, you know, to me, he's like an older brother. He's very experienced, you know, in boxing, so, you know, if there's anything, any questions I have, I look to him, and same goes vice versa. He, you know, we call each other, and we keep in contact all the time.
So who manages you guys?
Don Barry does.
And he's somebody that you know there in Vegas, or is he a friend of, like, how do you know him?
Well, Don Barry is actually the wife of Patrick Barry, who's my coach, Pat Barry. And,
Okay. And
his son-in-law, Augie Sanchez, is also another coach of ours.
Okay.
So it's a whole, like, family duo that we have going on.
All right, that's awesome. That's usually, like, my experience so far, that's been the way that, you know, people are better protected and better taken care of. Jesse, I have a question for Jesse. Your opponent, you're fighting this Saturday at the Win. I'm going to be there. I have a fighter fighting. He's actually on the opponent card, so I'm going to be in probably the other corner. I won't see you guys in the dressing room. But Jesse, your opponent is still to be at TBA, or do you have somebody that you're going to fight?
We recently just got somebody. His name is Jose Silveria, out from Mexico. And I believe his record's like 14-8. I'm not sure. But
he's a pretty
good guy.
All right.
I mean, he's been in the ring with pretty good guys already. I've seen that he fought Eric Morrell and Chris Martin. He fought them.
Okay.
So he's been in there with some pretty durable guys as well.
And you fought fights that were scheduled for 8 rounds, but you finished before the end of the second round. Like, you've had two fights that were scheduled for 8, but you finished them in, like, 1 or 2 rounds. How are you preparing to go the whole 8 rounds if that happens?
Well, the way we train, the way I train with Diego, our conditioning is just great. We're always doing our morning runs, our midnight runs. I mean, we always stay active, and when we get into the ring, we make sure we're 100 to, like, 1,000% ready to go to war.
All right, and tell me, Jesse, who excites you in the division, the 122 division? I mean, you're really early in the sport. You're getting there. You're working up your record. Who excites you, like, in the upper echelon, like, of that 122 division?
I'll say Nonito Donaire. I mean, he's a fast fighter. He has power. He's exciting. And I say Nonito Donaire he has my attention right now.
Okay.
Now, hey, I got a question for Jesse. Jesse, being the younger brother, man, did growing up, did Diego used to pick on you? Is that how you got all tough and everything, or what, man?
He still picks on me. I mean, it's a never-ending thing. I mean, big brother and, you know, little brother, always they always go at it. But me and him are really high competitive people. I mean, we can compete. As you can see on Twitter, we're always going back and forth. We got these new Nike Fuel Band things, and we're just back and forth with who could break, you know, each other's record faster. And, I mean, we've been like that since kids, and I don't see why. I could say it made me a tough person.
Now, Diego, now when your brother fights before you, you know, on the card, do you see him and let's say, you know, he knocks his opponent out in the first, second round, and being that you guys are competitive, does that make you want to be like, oh, man, I got to get my dude out quicker?
You know, that thought does run through my mind, but at the same time, we have to take care of business. You know, we can't go out there looking for a knockout. You know, we just have to sit back and let it happen. So we can't put that much pressure, but you know, there's always that competitiveness inside of us. So you know, if I see an opening, yeah, I'm gonna try to get that knockout.
And you know, is it? You know, we already seen, like, different – there's a lot of brothers out there that fight, you know. Is having a brother, whether, you know, the big brother or little brother, motivate you more when you're training and stuff because you have someone with you pushing you all the time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to leave anything, you know, unsaid or undone. So I give it my all. I give my best out there, you know, because I do want to be the example for my brother. I want to lead the way. I want to open doors for him. And I just want to do my best, you know, and be that positive role model for my brothers.
Right, right. Now, Diego, I'm sure you probably assumed I was going to ask this at some point, man. I'm just going to say, dude, the trunks, man, what's up with those? When do you get to come up with the concept of the style of the boxing trunks you wear?
Those came up, you know, in the amateurs, you're only limited to what you can wear. And, you know, going to the pros, my stance was always, you know, a little wider than normal. So with that, those trunks, they fit me. They suit me and everything. So, I mean, I'm able to move and feel comfortable and real light with them. So, and you know, that breeze under there in the 10th round is always a good thing too. So,
yeah,
so that's what keeps me going.
That's cool.
Okay, because you know what? Diego, I don't know if you know this, Josh, but Diego was named, like, number 5 Sports Illustrated, like, hottest boxers or something, like, sexiest boxers. I don't remember what it was. It was, like, a year ago. You know,
like,
that, right, Diego? I
told me.
You know.
It's right. I didn't know whether it was the eyes or the legs.
Yeah, so it must be the trunks. You just have to go with that.
And this is why I have a female co-host, because I had no idea about that. And I
not because I like that. I just noticed it and I sent it to him. This is a completely professional. I've seen Diego at tons of fights and we know each other, so it's not like that. But I did
right.
notice that and I sent it to him. I said, you should put this out on your fan page because this is like a big deal. He never did. He's modest like that.
Hey, Jesse, do you ever make fun of your brother's trunks, though, when you see him wearing them?
Did I make fun of him?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I like his style. It's different. And, I can never make fun of Diego like that. I mean, that's his style. That's the way he likes, you know, where he feels comfortable. And, I mean, you never know. I might come out with some pair of shorts like that.
Plus, Diego's bigger than him. Like, you never know. Diego, in the 130-pound division, are you going to stay at that weight?
Yeah, I want to ground myself at 130 pounds. I want to get a couple of titles. I think I have what it takes to be up there with those with the elite fighters. So until I get a WBC title, WBO, whichever world title out there, you know, I want to retain a world title before I step forward at 135.
And so. Tell me, like, you're the NABF champion. That, as I understand it, kind of feeds the WBC rankings. That's like the feeder, you know, title into the WBC title. When do you think you're gonna fight for one of those bigger titles?
Well, we were we were gonna get ready for one of the, for the WBC title this year, but unfortunately, the champion from Japan, he ended up losing. So there's a few things that have to go down. I wasn't sure if there was a rematch in their clause in their contract. So you know, Top Rank's gonna I mean, they're taking care of all that. So. You know, I'm ready to go at it. You know, I was ready this year. If it comes early next year, you know, I'll be more than ready. So I'm ready for any title out there.
And for, this is a question for both of you guys. Who do you think, tell me your, like, top two, like, your favorite pound-for-pound fighter and your favorite fighter in your division? Obviously, Jeff, you already said Donaire. But tell me in terms of your favorite, you know, your fan favorite, you're a boxing fan, what's your favorite fighter overall? And then what's the favorite fighter in your division, Diego?
Overall, I'd like to say, you know, there's a lot of guys. I'd probably go with Andre Ward. You know, he's a he's a good dude. You know, inside and out the ring. So I give my hat off to that guy right there. He's doing a lot of big things out there.
And then in your division, who are you looking at? Obviously, favorite fighter is probably a different connotation in your division, but who in your division do you think is really strong?
You know what? I'm competitive, and I'm going to have to go with myself. You know, I don't think there's anyone out there that, that you know, can do what I'm going to do once I get that title.
That's awesome. Good answer. Jesse, what do you – I already know you said Donaire in your division. Who's your favorite fighter overall?
I know everybody hates him. He's in my eyes, you know, he's a good fighter. I mean, he's an excellent fighter. He's undefeated. I would say Floyd Mayweather.
I don't think you're gonna find a lot of people, like, there are a lot of people don't like him, but I think you're gonna find a lot of fans. So I don't think you're out of line with that. So
I mean, well, you know, he's nobody likes him. I know that, but just the way he fights, he's real defensive. He gets in there, he does what he has to do, and I mean, to me, that's what the box is all about.
So when are we going to see Marco making his pro debut?
In a couple of years, you know, he has a couple of years to go. He's listening here right now too, and
hi,
know.
Marco.
How you doing?
Hey.
How you doing?
Hi, good. Nice to talk to you. So when do we see you going pro? In a couple of years?
Yeah, maybe in a couple of years. I'm not sure. I still have a long way to go.
What do you think about your brothers, you know, being pro? I mean, obviously you're going to look up to them. They're your older brothers, and, you know, they're doing their thing. What about what they're doing motivates you, Marco?
Everything that they do from inside and out the ring, there's nothing that I can put my finger on and, like, really choose, because it's everything that they do.
Well, thank you, guys. I'm going to say you guys are one of my favorite families in the sport. Obviously, I've interacted with you a little bit, you know, at the fights and, you know, in between here and there, and I'm really happy, you know, for you guys. I'm looking forward to watching Jesse on Saturday, and I'll be there in December at the fight week. You guys, I think you have – who's fighting on? I think it's Jesse's fighting on the 7th, right, on ESPN?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then, Diego, you're fighting the next night on the 8th, correct?
No, I believe I'm going to be on the 6th at the Texas Station. I'm going to be a main event on that card of my own, just to end it with the last this year.
Okay. All right. So I'm definitely going to see you guys there this Saturday, and I'll definitely see you guys there in December, and I hope to see Marco at some point. Hopefully, if there's an amateur show, if you ever want to come to Arizona to fight an amateur fight, we've got professional cards that do amateur fights, and I'm sure they'd love to have you. So if that's ever something you're interested in, you guys know how to get in touch with me, and I sure appreciate you coming on the show. Do you guys want to give a shout-out to any social media?
Oh, well, yeah. I want to give a shout-out to our gym, though. Barry's Boxing, you know, they do a lot for us, and to Top Rank as well. You can find us on Twitter and on Facebook at Diego Magdaleno, and as for my brother, Jesse J. Mag. So, tune in and follow us.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. I sure appreciate it. We scheduled this like 2 weeks ago, and it all worked out. So thank you for coming on. Happy birthday to Diego. He had his birthday last weekend. Thank you for coming on, and I hope to talk to you guys soon when you guys are, you know, making it, you know, even further. So good luck this weekend, Jesse. I'm going to see you on Saturday in Vegas.
Sweet. Right thank on. You. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was the Magdaleno brothers, Diego and Jesse. That was a fun interview. Good kids and talented fighters in there, right, man? I've always loved watching them fight. Jesse is fun to watch, and his older brother is always fun to watch, too. But, yeah, you know, on that note, before we wrap up the show and everything, we got our new segment that I brought up a couple weeks ago. I'm going to let you start it off, Emily. Prospect watch. Who's a prospect that you want people to know about and keep their eye on?
Well, I watched, you know, all the fights. I watched as many fights as I could pack in when I got back from Chicago today. And one of the ones I just kind of caught was Dos Lamas versus Daniel Sanchez. And this was on the undercard in Humble, Texas, of Fernando Guerrero. And
mm-hmm.
Guerrero, right?
Yeah.
Joe Lamas is 6'1" with a 75-inch. He's 17 years old. He's a professional. He already has 1-0 before this fight starts. He's 131 pounds. And I'm like, really? Seriously? 6'1" at 131 pounds? This kid is like tiny. And when I watched him fight, he used his height and his reach. I mean, he had no choice. Like, the guy, even I think he was 5'10-ish. You know, I'm just guessing 5'9", 5'10". He couldn't help but use his reach. It's 131 pounds. I want to see him, you know, tighten up his defense. I want to see him, you know, sit on his punches a little more. But I'll tell you, he took the guy out, put him down once with a body punch, and then once with just a regular, I don't remember what it was, a right, I think. But he used his height. He was a skinny dude, but at 131, 6'1", 75-inch reach, I think he's going to be kind of a force. You can see him on sweetboxingvideos.wordpress.com. You can watch his fight, Joe Lamas versus Daniel Sanchez. Again, 6'1", 131-pound division. I want to see him. I want to see what happens. And the reason, of course, you know, I work with a fighter that's 6', 140 pounds, and, you know, I've seen what he's done. I would like to see what happens with this kid because he was really solid. At first, I didn't really feel like he was hitting very hard. Lots of punches, accurate. He relied a lot on his reach for his defense. He didn't keep his hands up. So I want to see that a little bit more because if he's in with somebody that's a little bit bigger, he might have some trouble. But, you know, he just looked really good for his age. He's 17 years old only, and, you know, for his height and weight, I was really impressed.
Definitely, definitely. And my prospect watch, I'm going to cheat here. I'm going to cheat. I was going to say Oscar Valdez. I was going to say Jay Leon, but we already talked about them enough. Next week, everybody, make sure you tune in. I think, if I'm not mistaken, on Showtime, Gary Russell Jr. is the headline, but three Olympians from the RUS team is making their debut. Terrell Gachet, Dominic Brazil, and Rasheed Warren. Four. I think Earl Spence as well. So all four of those guys. Out of all those guys, I'm going to pick one. Terrell Gachet is the guy that you want to watch. You want to pay attention to. He's definitely the next thing. I got to follow a lot of his career when he's fighting for the Matadors and stuff. Man, the guy's talented. He's going to put on a showcase. He's definitely going to put on a show come next week. And just that whole card is going to be a fun card. You're going to get to see Gary Russell again, although everyone's wanting him to start stepping up. You know, at least we're getting to see him fight again and see what he can do. But Terrell Gachet is one guy that you must watch. And Rasheed Warren's an interesting guy. I want to see how he can go over to the pros, how his amateur style translates to the pros, because, you know, he's not the strongest puncher, not the hardest puncher, but he's fast as lightning, man. That kid is fat. That's Flash right there. That's what he is. So interesting to see what he does. Earl Spence, another good kid who fought in the Olympics. We saw him. And Dominic Brazil. So next week, make sure you tune in. And like I said, I think it's showtime. That should be a hell of a fight. A hell of a card, and it's great for boxing. You got these Olympians fighting. I'm sorry I cheated, Emily.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, but no, I'm just kidding. It's good. That's good. I mean, you're right. We have to support these Olympians. You know, they did their best there, and everybody sat there and talked about the fact that, well, they're trained in the pro style. Well, let's see what they do here in the pros.
Yeah, definitely. I think Terrell Gashay is going to translate well to the pros. Earl Spence, I think, is going to be fine. I don't know about Rashid yet. I don't know how he's going to translate. And same with Dominic Brazil. I haven't even seen Dominic Brazil really fight too much to really give my opinion on him. But Terrell and Earl are going to be real solid fighters. And they got with the right people. They're with Al Haymon. So, you know, we'll be seeing a lot of them. And how awesome is that we're all going to get to see them make their pro debut on TV?
Yeah, it's awesome. All at the same time.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I think they've had that con. They already had that since the start of the Olympics. I think they already had that plugged in. So that was a hell of a thing. So before we wrap up the show, rants and raves. Emily, I know you wanted to rant about something. You kind of did it earlier. I don't know if you got another one or you want to go on more with the same one. Go ahead and tell everyone what's bothering you.
My rant is just, I have a rant and a rave. My rant is just the obsession with Floyd and 50. They're just playing everybody, I feel. They're just putting it out there, playing around. Like, these guys, if you think about your daily life and how busy you are as an individual with your kids, your family, your work, your hobbies, you have to imagine these guys, they're like moguls, both of them, in their own way. They have to be 100 times busier. Do you think if they're messing around on Twitter, like, that means anything? It doesn't. The people that know the most about the situation are not on Twitter. And these guys are just fooling around, whether it be for publicity, whether it be for just fun. It's not real, in my opinion. I don't know for sure, but that's my opinion. And frankly, I think we're giving so much time to that, it's driving me crazy. Like, everybody on my timeline is all about 50 and Floyd. And I'm like, hey, there was a hurricane. There's lots of people who need help. Why don't 50 and Floyd use their money and influence to help drive resources that way? That's what, you know, the stars with integrity are doing. And I really think they could be doing that. So that's my rant.
Excuse me. You know, since you're, I might as well say my rave since that's your rant. I'm going to rave about it. That was some funny, hilarious stuff. That was my entertainment. I stayed home that night. I was glued to Twitter because it was funny. I don't buy
Maybe
into
it. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I just have a social life. So I get home and I see this and I'm like,
ouch.
I'm just saying, if that's your Friday night, enjoying these guys' tweets, that's all I'm saying.
That was a low blow, Emily. And just because you travel first class and you live that jet life, don't mean you got to knock on my non-social life. That was cold-blooded. But, you know, that's why you're going to apply yourself by the end of next year. Anyways, hey, it was entertaining. It was funny. I don't buy into it as well. I think they're tweeting next to each other on their money phones, which I can't wait to get one of those. No, I can't afford it, but one day I will have a money phone. It was funny. All the pictures tweeting out and the slander going back and forth. Hilarious. The funniest thing was seeing people tweeting to 50 and clowning him and talking crap. And, you know, it's like, dude, why are you wasting your time? I mean, these guys don't care what you, first of all, feel about them. Second, they all laughing at you. That, you know, but it is what it is. It's funny. It's entertaining. I never said it was good for boxing, but it was entertaining. So what's your rave?
My rave is just the quality of boxing we saw over the weekend. If you're a boxing fan and you were able to tune in to Sky, to the Canada, whatever the Canada channel is, Solo Boxeo, there was some really good boxing on this weekend. Regardless of the fact it wasn't on HBO on Showtime, some good boxing. So that's my rave.
Definitely. I already basically raved about it, but you know, hey, next week, the great boxing ahead of us, the month of November, that's my rave. We have a bunch of great stuff for the month of November, from next week's card with all the prospects on there to, you got DeMarco Broner, I think, coming up. You have Andre Berto. I just drew a blank. And Robert Guerrero, I can't believe I forgot. I was at that press conference, by the way, which was pretty interesting, to say the least. And one thing, I just got to say this and let this be known. I got to meet the infamous one in boxing, the man behind everything. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I have a guess.
Go, take a guess.
Is it Al Heyman?
I saw Al Heyman in person at the press conference.
I didn't know he really existed.
he exists. He's real. I
Where
thought, you know, seeing him was like finding out Santa Claus is real.
Were the Sam Watson twins standing behind him? Or
No, they were chilling, though. They were chilling off on the side. You know, being the Watson twins, we stay tight. Like, I don't know, but we stay tight. You know, we cool.
Is it just me, or are the Sam Watson twins not standing together in the ring anymore? They're standing apart. I don't know if it's because of the Sam Watson Twitter and all the pictures, but I don't see a lot of a video of them standing next to each other anymore. I just want to put that out there. It's not important. It doesn't matter, but it's something I observed this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. But, yeah, so the press conference was awesome, and it just shows me that there's so much great stuff going in boxing. All the people climbing on boxing and talking all the trash, man, I don't know what they're going at. It's just so many great stuff coming up in the month of November. And then we got some fights in December, too, which were right in the beginning. We got the fourth fight with Pacquiao and Marquez, and hopefully that's it, or else we're probably going to see the fifth and sixth and seventh fight of their careers against each other.
Right.
But, definitely a good month and another good month to follow right after.
Well, I'll be there in the fights on Saturday. I won't be at the Golden Boy fights. I'll be at the Top Rank fights, which is Lara versus Bonis.
Does that have to do with anything with the Cold War? I'm just saying.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that's the fight I'm going to be at. I got a fighter on the card, so I'm going to be there. I'll see Jesse Magdaleno, who we talked to tonight, and Lara, and met Vonis this weekend, Saturday. And then, obviously, I'll be in Vegas for Fight Week. I've got fighters every night, it looks like. So.
Oh, yeah, Vonis and Lara, is that this weekend, too?
Yeah, that's this Saturday. That's the one I'm going to.
Oh, yeah. See, man, we got a bunch of good fights. That's going to be a hell of a
just
fight.
For the record, like, next week when you're like, hey, what happened in the Golden Boy fights? I won't have seen them because I'll have been at the other ones, but I'll do my best to watch them when I get home.
There's no excuses. No excuses. But anyways, any last final thoughts you want to say before we wrap up the show?
No, I got nothing. Thanks for the listeners. Thanks for the guests. Thank you to Jesse and Diego for calling in, and Marco. And thank you, Josh. It was good to hear from you. And
yeah, let everyone know where they can follow you at, because, like, everyone listening, they want to send all the, like, good stuff you can send to her. I get all the hate mail, so
okay.
Let everyone know your Twitter.
Yeah, send all the hate mail to BigTree33. That's his Twitter handle. My Twitter handle is EmilyBoxing, and my Facebook is also EmilyBoxing. You can find me at both Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. And just for me, like you said, at BigTree33. And I'm going to close up the show, and I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank the Magdaleno Brothers for coming on. And thanks to the man behind the scenes, the guy who makes this show going, Mr. Producer of the Year, David Chen. Good looking out for everything, man. And stay safe out there. He's also on the East Coast. So and I wanted to say, you know, my prayers with everyone in Hurricane Sandy. I know it's crazy, you know. So
hang in there.
Yeah, just hang in there. And for my co-host, thank you very much. And next week, just tune in next week to get your fix again, all you boxing addicts on the Boxing Fix. We're out. Peace.